Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have as a guest, a returning guest, Professor Robert Oscar Lopez, who's also an author. In fact, he wrote a book called Wackos, Thugs, and Perverts, Clintonian Decadence in Academia. Now, let me say this. Robert Oscar Lopez was an associate professor of English at Cal State University, Northridge, before he was forced to leave because he was politically incorrect. Professor Lopez, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me back on.
Sure.
Pleasure.
And I'd like to go ahead and focus a little bit here, if we could, for a few minutes at least, on the subject of free speech and the college campuses. Let's begin with what happened recently with Ann Coulter and how there were threats of violence should she come to Berkeley, the so-called home or the so-called birthplace of free speech in America.
I think that the conservative response to this, now we have to reevaluate. One of the things that I have lamented is that there are very strong conservative reactions to incidences where there are guest speakers who are blocked from speaking. And I think that is an important issue, but I have tried continually to get conservatives also to look at the deeper institutional problems, because even if Ann Coulter had been given the right to speak, the reality is that Berkeley, the problem with Berkeley is the faculty and the administration, and that has not moved an inch. That continues to get worse every year. And that's why you're seeing the incidences with the guest speakers get more and more severe. But I don't think that necessarily guest speakers are the best focus for us, because ultimately, even if you win, then she gets to give a speech, she leaves, but the campus continues on the way that it's turning. And I also worry about conservatives committing too much to the notion of guest speakers, because often they are getting very high honoraria, and that's increasing the student activities fees, which is part of the areas where I'm critical in terms of the rising costs for students.
Right, but the violence, the violent reaction is something new and is definitely newsworthy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous, the violence. It's funny because I think when you first interviewed me a few months ago, I talked about Wackos, Thugs, and Perverts, the title, and just a couple months ago, that title was so shocking to people, and now it's not, because it really is, we're seeing thuggish criminal behavior, and it's becoming normalized, and my suspicions after the riots involving Milo in Berkeley were that really the faculty were probably involved, and then now it looks that is true, that they have uncovered cases where there were faculty who were involved in the rioting. I think the violence is getting more and more severe because the faculty and the administrations, basically all of the leaders in these universities, have drifted so far to one end of the spectrum, and they just have no input from anyone outside of their world. So we're kind of peering into a fishbowl and seeing what insanity looks like, is the way I would put it.
Wow. Yeah. Is college necessary?
No, I think that this is what I have been trying to push, is that I have fought for academic freedom. I think it's still a valuable thing to fight for, but I think on a larger level, the most important thing is we have to just cure Americans of their obsession with college. Right now, I think four-year liberal arts degrees are not serving the purpose. They're incredibly expensive. People go into huge debt, and it's a huge transfer of wealth from the working class and the middle class to the wealthiest people in America. And I just saw a report in Campus Reform this morning that there are now many more colleges that are actually hiring lobbyists to try to protect their tax exemptions for their huge endowments. So a lot of these colleges that are charging really high tuition and getting lots of government money through student loans and grants also have huge endowments already that they're not paying taxes on. So I think we have to fix that whole thing and move Americans to get comfortable with the idea that people graduate from high school and they spend perhaps 2 years learning a trade. They learn how to do nails or build coffins for an undertaker or fix pipes, something of that nature that you know is going to be a recurring need in the economy so that you'll always have something to fall back on.
Well, different people have different skills and different talents and so forth. So,
right.
You know, that's fine for somebody with a trade like that. But somebody that would be more interested in writing or whatever, they may want to definitely go the college route. And in fact, I will say this. I knew a fellow that unfortunately died of cancer since I knew him. But he was about 50 years old, and he was bemoaning the fact that he had only gotten an associate's degree, which means 2 years at a community college. He had never gotten a BA, and he always felt that it had kept him back. And, you know, my only comment would be, well, I do know, didn't Bill Gates drop out of Harvard? Didn't Rush Limbaugh drop out of school?
Right.
There's some people who've accomplished some great things and are really financially well off, but they never did finish college or even went there.
Yeah, I think that the four-year degree is still valuable, but we need to break it up. We need to change our approach. Right now, what we're doing is we're getting people out of high school and then throwing them into 4 years in liberal arts programs that are really confused and muddled. The general education requirements at your average four-year liberal arts program are, they don't make any sense. You take two semesters of science for poets, you know, that you don't even learn really anything about the principles of science in that. You take 1 year of a foreign language, and they're even eliminating that requirement. So it doesn't really make sense the way that they put all of that curriculum together. And the thing is that after 2 years, if you're confused or you're not accomplishing anything, you really haven't learned anything with those 2 years. And you walk away with nothing but the debt. So I think it's important to change the way that we structure this so that everyone graduates from college, high school, and if they want to go further, you know, first you get a two-year degree, then you stay for two more years and get the bachelor's. That would, I think, really cut down on the amount of debt that people take on, because a lot of people are going to be happy after 2 years, and they won't come back. But the reason why the colleges don't want to talk about this is because they make a lot more money by the system that exists now.
Where do they get that money from? From the taxpayers somehow?
Yes, they do.
For the most part?
From the taxpayers. Because not only are these all 501c3 tax-exempt status organizations, so they have all of these endowments and they get donations they don't have to pay taxes on, but on top of it, people who go there and get student loans, whether it's a federal student loan or it's a private student loan, usually at some point there's federal backing of it. So the federal government kind of guarantees the student loan, and that allows them to keep the interest rates at a certain level. So they're getting all that money that way. And then the grants, you know, recently the University of California was exposed for well over $100 million that Janet Napolitano's administration had hidden that they were getting. And so there were questions about whether the federal government should continue to give hundreds of millions of dollars to them. And that's very problematic because on top of it, for the Democrats, both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, their largest campaign donors were mostly college campuses. They were Harvard, University of Chicago, University of California.
Wow. It's really sad what has happened because, I mean, historically, in fact, you just mentioned Harvard, that was founded by Christian ministers for the purpose of training ministers in the gospel when our present ministers lie in the dust. It even says that in chiseled in stone to this day, it says it right there at Harvard. And yet Harvard is so anti-Christian. Talk about that a little bit, the anti-Christian nature of many of these universities.
Well, I think it basically reflects what Jesus warned us about, that, you know, and what Paul warned us about in a lot of his epistles, that it's easy to fall away from grace. Little bit by little bit, you lose sight of why benefits were given to you. The reason why the colleges largely exist in the United States with so much independence and so much prestige, and they're given so much trust and leeway by the public, is because they were founded in the beginning as seminaries or as cloisters where men of God tried to better themselves and prepare people to go out and lead Christians to wisdom. And the thing about it is that if you take God out of the equation, then it's a wonderful place where you get, there's lots of money and you get a lot of leeway. You get this academic freedom idea. You get tenure. You get to regulate yourselves. You know, the department makes all the decisions about who gets promoted, and they don't really have to justify themselves very often to other people outside of that. But without God, that just becomes vanity. It just becomes compounded ridiculousness. I mean, you really start to deliver yourself up to, you know, kind of frivolous thoughts. And that's, I think, where we're at right now. And then it follows that the money is being very poorly spent and the curriculum is collapsing. And then finally, the behavior is just atrocious. You mentioned all of the violence in Berkeley, and you know, that's just one campus. There are so many campuses where you're seeing just the total breakdown of not even civility, but just human behavior. I mean, and many of the demands that the students are doing as they're taking over buildings, as they are smashing windows and threatening people and having campaigns to get people fired, a lot of times they're focused on things that are just so irrational, you know, like the attempt, for instance, to get Jordan Peterson fired from his job in Toronto because he just doesn't want to use these pronouns that the transgender movement has put in place. Or we saw the attacks on this woman who published a piece comparing transracialism to transgenderism, and 400 academics signed on to this very nasty petition to humiliate her and to try to get that article expunged from the journal. You know, the faculty, the administrators, and the students are all really acting in ways that are barbaric. And so you're just seeing the total decadence of the system.
Hmm. And then a lot of the tuition itself, not the tuition, but a lot of the curriculum, rather, is just filled with political correctness and, you know, people get degrees in stuff that, number one, won't even train them, but number two, is a lot of it is just dubious in terms of the facts.
Well, right. Not only is it factually inaccurate, but it actually instills in them dysfunction. I mean, you take something like queer studies, which basically teaches you to have dysfunctional sexuality. The reason why it's called queer studies is because it's based on queer theory, and queer theory was the study of all things that are against normative or normal sexuality. So literally, you're getting a degree teaching you how to teach other people how to be abnormal. I mean, why would you spend money on that? That you're not only teaching them things that aren't true, but you're also instilling in them an ethic that's going to be destructive and won't help them. But I think a lot of...
Okay, wait. Let me stop you right there. Just how about in a sentence or two, tell about your own particular background, because you know firsthand about, you know, lesbianism as an example.
Well, yeah, I was raised by a gay mom, and I came out as gay when I was a teenager, and I was in that for about 15 years until I fell in love with a woman, and I realized that everything that I had been told by the gay community was essentially a lie. I don't think people are born gay. I think there are tons of people who make a choice to leave the community. There are a lot of people who decide that they're going to put the Bible first, so whatever little itch they have, they're not going to scratch it if Jesus Christ tells you not to scratch it, right? So, you know, all of the things that they had told me when I was younger, I realized were lies. And not only were they lies, but they also, wow, they made me dysfunctional. Now, I don't want to include my mother in that, because I think my mother was very attentive to raising me better than the community as a whole. But the community at large, the gay community, definitely instilled a lot of very false assumptions in me. And there are things that do harm your ability to live your life and to build the life that you want and to be close to God.
Mm. All right, we have very little time left, maybe about 1 minute or so. But I understand that liberals are responsible for the increase in tuition over the past 40 years, which you say is 439%. Let me repeat that. 439% increase in tuition for college over the past 40 years in America. 439%. Wow. And liberals are to blame.
Right, they are, because they controlled all the institutions and they were making all the big decisions. But that was not even 40 years. I believe that figure was cited in 2012. That was where the tuition stood, comparing it back to 1988. So that was actually 20-something years, and
Whoa.
Then you have to figure how much it's gone up since then. It's crazy. So.
Wow, that is crazy. And, well, what needs to happen to make schools more affordable in the half a minute?
I think that we have to cut off the federal money. We have to cause a huge shakeup. Just no federal dollars should go to these institutions as they stand right now, because they're dysfunctional. And if we can't fix them, we have to force them to fix themselves. So if they don't get any more federal money, they'll have to trim down their administration and their costs, and they'll have to be more practical.
Robert Oscar Lopez, again, the name of his book, Wackos, Thugs, and Perverts, Clintonian Decadence in Academia. His website is EnglishManIf.blogspot.com. Dr. Lopez, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bless you.